Happy New Year to you all. Gosh, it seems like it's been forever since we've been together. I hope 2020 is going well for you so far. We, like thousands of other churches in America, have chosen as our theme for January 2020 vision. Real creative, right? But it's hard to miss this one. What we're going to do is this morning, we're going to start a journey for you that is going to take place over the next few months. Well, we're going to start asking you to take a challenge. The challenge is to look at your life and see it clearly and see the vision that God has for you, but then also to take a look at where we are and where we're going as a ministry. This is going to be an exciting year of change for us as a ministry, and that will be we'll be sharing those things with you, and those things will unfold over the months ahead. But we start laying the groundwork for that now, and so today we're going to take a vision test. Now, how many of you in the room have seen the movie Space Cowboys? If you remember the movie, it's about some geriatric astronauts that end up going into space on a rescue mission to fix a satellite that was created by Clint Eastwood. And so there's some stipulations and some hurdles to get over, but one of the things these guys have to do is they have to pass a vision test. And so what we've got is we're going to see Tommy Lee Jones and Clint Eastwood and then Donald Sutherland take a vision test. And so we're going to show you that clip this morning, and I'm going to explain why it's important to us. Take a look at the screen.
Cover your right eye and read the chart, if you would.
Time me. E-F-L-E-P-T, P-L-E-P-F-L-F-L-E, P-T-P-L-F-E-T-E-L-O-P-Z-D-D-E-F, P-O-T-E-C, F-L-E-P-T-P, L-E-P, F-L-F-L-E-P-T, P-L-F-L-T, M-A-D-I-N-U-S-A. Oh, made in USA. That's one for the economy.
You have 2010 vision, Colonel.
And 14 seconds.
All right.
All right. E-F-L-E-P-T, P-L-E-P, F-L-E-L-E, P-T-L-P-E-F, E-T-Z-E-T. T.
2020.
And 5 seconds left.
Oh. Next.
I'm next. Yep.
5 seconds.
Let's see how you do on your physical first.
I'm just going to do the bottom three lines, F-L-E-P-T, P-L-E-P-F-L, F-L-E-P-T, P-L-F-E-T. Do you think oysters would be too much for the first date?
You have 2010 vision, Captain.
Yeah, these are just for looking at you, kid. I may be blind, Frank, but my memory is perfect. F-L-E-P-T, P-L-E-P-F-L,
F-L-E-P-T, P-L-E-P, F-L-E-P-T, P-L-E-P-T.
So obviously he cheated. He had no idea what those lines were, but he was able to see them when he had his glasses on and memorize them. And that becomes important for us. See, when we think about our life and we think about the vision that God has for us, it's important to be able to see it clearly, but it's also just as important to remember what you've seen in the past. So often, as we're trying to live out and become this person that God has created us to be, we get flustered and frustrated when we can't see it as clearly as we want to. But in those moments, then you have to rock back into and lean back into what you know that God has done in the past and what you've seen him do before. And as you do that, you begin to, again, see clearly, and you're able to emerge and step into the future that God has for you. So today, we're going to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that anybody that's been around here has heard me teach a lot. But it becomes a launching point for us as this new year begins. And we begin thinking about how your life needs to operate and how you get the privilege of living your life. And I have good news for you. If you didn't know it when you walked in the door, the best news you're going to hear today is that you get a chance to live life blessed. God wants to bless you. He really does. And we're going to be talking about that and talking about the blessing of God for the next 4 weeks, and we're going to talk about how we bless others, and we're going to be looking at the future that God has for us. But you have to learn to look at your life and look through that lens of seeing what God has done and how he's blessed you. When you do, you will see your life in an entirely different way. You'll see the calling that God has placed on your life in an entirely different way. And you will live your life in an entirely different way. And what a better way to start a new year. So bow your heads and hearts. Let's pray together. God, you are always good. Even when we're not, you are. And Heavenly Father, to be honest with you, we have stepped into a new year and it doesn't necessarily feel that different than the previous year. We come trudging into a new year with the same problems, situation, and circumstances that we had when the other year ended. Heavenly Father, we come into it with the same responsibilities that seem to be looming in front of us, and we're aware of those. And a lot of people would admit that it's been nice to change the pace through the holidays, but sometimes that comes to a crashing end, and all of a sudden school begins, and the work schedule begins, and all of the routines begin to fall back into place, and sometimes that can be a little overwhelming. But here we are. And you've given us a new day and a new year. And so the honest, the real, the practical question is, what are we going to do with it? And Lord, my hope for each one of us is that we won't waste it. And instead, we would embrace it so that we might be everything that you have created us to be. And so God, even now, as we continue our celebration, take the eyes of our heart and focus them on you. And let us see you for who you are, for how you work in our lives. Help us to celebrate the good things that you do. And help us to celebrate the way that you always provide, no matter what, wherever we find ourselves. And help us to walk away this day closer and more in line with what you have called us to be as this new year begins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of it, it's where we kick off the brand new year as we talk about taking a vision test. A vision test. If you have your worship flyer, you can see where the outline is going to go this morning. If you have your app open, it's in there as well. And so take a second to look there. And then go ahead and leave your Bibles open. And if this is familiar territory to you, be patient with me as we kind of plow through the verse. We're going to look at it and explain it a little bit because it has everything to do with what we're talking about, and especially as we kind of launch into this brand new year, some things that you need to see there. John 10, verse 10, it is in the passage that is probably marked in your Bible and your subtitles as the Good Shepherd. Where Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd. He is making a description of who we are as sheep, how he works as a shepherd, that he is the gate. And it says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That verse becomes the kickoff verse for us, and it is packed and loaded with meaning. And it has everything to do with your life and everything to do with who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you're not familiar with the verse, it will be hopefully when, by the time we get done, you'll see that meaning in a brand new and fresh way. And if it's something that you're familiar with, it will be a little bit more clear for you before we walk out the door. And it's a good idea since we're talking about a vision test. Anyway, there are two guys that met each other on the street one day. One looked forlorn and sad, on the verge of tears, and his friend said, "Man, it is so great to see you, but you look so sad. What has life done to you, my old friend?" And the fellow said, "Well, let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. The guy in the street that met him said, "Wow, that's a lot of money." The guy sighed and said, "Yeah, but you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear." His friend said, "Yeah, that sounds fantastic. It sounds to me like you've been blessed." "You don't understand," the man interrupted him. He said, "Last week, my great aunt passed away and left me $250,000. And the guy in the street said, I don't understand. You've had this incredible windfall, and you've been blessed. Why do you look so sad?" The guy said, "Weren't you listening to me? This week, nothing." Now, I know none of you would ever do that. But the grim reality that some of us function in, and the grim reality that swirls around us sometimes, is we often come to the point where we begin to think that the blessings of God are just something that we're entitled to, something that we can take for granted, and if it doesn't unfold the way that we want, when we want, sadly, we get bitter. And as silly as that story sounds, and hopefully not true, there is more truth in it than we might want to admit. And this series is an invitation for you to take an honest look at your life. How do you see the world? How do you see who you're supposed to be? How do you see your life from where you are right now and where God's taking you? And then beyond that, we're going to expand that and start thinking about the ministry that we have as a church in the days ahead and how God is going to use us to impact the world around us. And so I want to break down the verse that we looked at. And I want, there's four things I want you to see or not see that are there. And the first one is simply this. I want you to focus and see it. The verse reads, "I come that they might have life." Life is the word I want to key on. For some of you who have been around me, you know that that's not a surprise. There is a very unique word in the Greek that's used when Jesus says that. He says, "I come that they might have life." And we get that. The translators get that. But what we don't know, or what you may not know, or what you don't care about, but you need to care for at least for a moment, is that there are three Greek words that could have been used there. Three words for life that could be used there. One is psuche. Okay? Which has to do with where we would get our word psychology from. It is that way that you process, the way that you think, your psyche, if you will, the way your headspace. Okay? He could have used that word, but he didn't. There's another word for life that he could have used, and that would have been bios. Again, another word often used. And it really has to do with what we think of when we think of life. I mean, it is the biological part of life. I mean, it is your heart pumping. It is your lungs expanding and contracting, air going in and out. I mean, the things that happen in your life, in your body, biologically, that keep you functioning. He could have used that word for life. He could have said, "I come that they might have life," and could just breathe and eat and do what they need to do. But that's not the word that he used. He used a word that is very unique in this particular setting because it has only one meaning, and the word that he used is Zoe, Z-O-E. In other words, Jesus says in this passage, "I come that they might have Zoe." That's the word that he lands on. And you know what that word means? It means the God-breathed life. See, Jesus could have used the other words to explain what he was talking about, but he didn't. He settled on one word, and that one word is a key word in understanding what he's talking about here. And so sometimes when we say, we read the word life, we just don't get it. He said, "I come that they might have a God-breathed life." And that means that you have a life that he has come to give you that is fueled and energized by him. And hear me carefully. That life that is fueled and energized by him has nothing to do with your circumstances, the obstacles you're facing, or the things that might distract you. In other words, he is saying, "I have come so that you might have a life that is infused by me, that I have given you, that I energize and that I make work, I make percolate, that has nothing to do with all the peripheral things that distract us sometimes and cause us to wander and cause us to lose focus." And that's why I say, as we come to this moment, you need to focus and see it, because that is incredible news for each one of us. There is a life that God has created for you. And as you begin a brand new year, a brand new week, a brand new afternoon in just an hour or so, you have a life that God and God alone has breathed in you. No one else could do it. It's not just about the way that you think and process. It's not just about how you physically kind of move through this existence. It is a life that God has for you that he is powering and he is driving. That's why he came. "I come that they might have Zoe." And when you understand what the word means, it makes a difference in how we look at the world around us. And so as we begin a new year, all of us, that's incredible news. To know that we right now are stepping into a brand new year with the potential that is wrapped into a life that only God can give. You can't get it from anywhere else, although we live in a world where a lot of people try. We live in a world where a lot of people are going to draw on a lot of different things for the energy and the enthusiasm and the zest that they have for life. But yet here's Jesus saying, "I come that they might have life." That's what he came to do, to give life. Wrapped into that is all the things that you know about Jesus, hopefully. He comes as a baby in a manger. He comes to give you hope. He lives that perfect life and he goes to a cross and he dies to offer you eternal life so that you can tap into this thing that he has offered. That makes you heroic. And he comes along and he says, I have done this for you because this is the best way to live. That's why I'm doing this. That's what I'm here for. I come that you might have life. It's a life that comes out of the very breath of God. It's a level of existence. It is not merely you thinking and feeling your way through life, but it's about you not just surviving, but learning to thrive at a different level. He has called you to live at a different level, a higher level. How often is it that we get bogged down by the things that are going on around us and we think, I just don't know what I can do. It's overwhelming. And then we dare to say, God, why would you do this to me? Now, I know none of you have ever thought that. That's for people who didn't get here today because it was too chilly. But we have moments. We all have those moments. This is a verse that reminds us that he cuts through and he slices through those moments. He says, no, you're missing the point. If you're focused on me and if you're passionately following me, there's a life that I have for you that is different than all those things. No matter how you feel, no matter what you think, there's a life for you that I have that only I can give you. And that's what you're called to live. And as you begin this new year, as we begin this series of learning to look at your life and seeing your life unfold in front of you clearly, you must understand that the life that we are talking about is Zoe. It is that God-breathed life that doesn't come from anywhere else. If you're looking for another kind of life or another kind of lifestyle, this is not the series for you. Because we're not talking about that. We're talking about becoming, as we say so often, the best version of you. The best version of you where you get to tap in to that gifts and that calling and that character and all that stuff that God has poured into you that makes you uniquely you, where you can become that best version of you and impact and touch and change the world with his love. And if that's what you're interested in, if that's what you want, if that's the kind of year you want to have, then this is the perfect way to start the year. Because the next thing that I want to show you is just as important. And the second thing that you see in the outline is simply this. Read the next line. Read the next line. He says, I come that they might have life. And then he says something else. And have it to the full. So in other words, and again, I'm not going to oversimplify this, but it is pretty simple, right? He gives us life, but if that's not enough, he goes on to say, I want to add a little bit to that so you understand it better. I'm going to give you a God-breathed life, but I want you to have that life to the full. The word in some translations would be abundant or abundantly. That means above and beyond what you could expect, in excess of what you could hope for, way beyond the need. And I'm struck by the fact as I look at these verses that God has a default setting as he deals with us. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but God's default setting as he deals with you is blessing. He blesses you. He wants to bless you. What does he say? I come that you might have life, a life that only I could give, a God-breathed, God-infused life, and have it to the max. Have it to the nth degree. Have it and then some. In other words, there is a life that he has for us that not only is the only life that he can give, but he wants to even give you more. And he wants you to see it more. And he wants to see it bigger. And you have to understand that that's who Jesus is and that's what he came to do. He wants to bless you. God is not picking on you. He's not angry at you. He's not trying to zap you. He comes to bless you. Not because I said so, but because he describes it that way. I've come so you can have life. And have it to the full. Have it full throttle. Have it to the max. If you don't believe that, let me tell you what happens in your life. You doubt the goodness of God. And when you begin to doubt the goodness of God, you miss his blessing. And there's a lot of people who are kind of meandering their way through life who deep down inside, they doubt the goodness of God. And as a result, they're not seeing his blessing. They're not seeing his hand at work in their life like they could. Because they've decided that for some reason they are a target for God. That God really is picking on them. He's not treating them fairly. He's not giving them a fair shake. He's not doing what he said he would do. And I made this statement a week or so ago as we were talking. God hasn't failed any of us. God comes through. Yet, if we don't look at our lives and we fail to see the goodness of God around us, what begins to happen to us is our focus goes out of whack. And so here we come to a verse that reminds us, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. God wants to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. He really does. And as I read Scripture and I look at my life, as I look at what God does over and over again, He is blessing in spite of me. He is blessing my world around me in spite of me. He takes my half-best effort sometimes and He blesses them beyond my imagination. He is at work around me. And I believe that. But the question for you is not whether I believe it or not. I just told you I did. The question is, do you believe it? Do you really believe that there is a Savior, that there is a God who came to give you life and give it to you to the max? Because what you believe and how you answer that question speaks volumes about where you are in your journey and how you view the world around you and what your vision looks like. And if you're not seeing God clearly, I can also promise you that you're going to struggle at times, which is why that clip becomes so important. Because in moments when I don't see God as clearly, I have to remember who He is and what He's done in my life. And when I can draw back and I can pull on that, then all of a sudden things become clearer. So even in those moments when it's not good or it seems like it's falling apart or it seems like things are unraveling, I know back time and time and time again in my life that God has been good and He is faithful and He always comes through, and I can hold on to that until I see clearly again. See, how you view the world and the vision that you have about God matters more than you know. So do you believe it? There's a little boy who went to a local store with his mom, and the shop owner, who was a kind guy. It was a mom and pop shop. He always had candy out for the kids. And this particular day, he had a bucket full of dum-dum suckers. And so, as always, he looked at the little boy and he said, you know, grab a handful if your mom says it's okay. The little boy looked at his mom. Mom says, okay, grab a handful. And all of a sudden, uncharacteristically, the little boy kind of backed off. He got shy. And his mom said, go ahead. He said you could have a handful. Take them. No, take them. Go ahead and get a sucker, son. He wouldn't do it. He kind of hid behind his mom. The shop owner laughed, said, it's not a problem. He reached down. He grabbed a handful. He came to the little boy, and they got outside, and they got in the car. And, of course, he's got the sucker in his mouth, and he's just going to town on the sucker. And his mom looks back and says, what is wrong with you? Why are you so shy all of a sudden? Why did you back away? And the little boy said, because his hand's bigger than mine. Hear me very carefully. God's hand is bigger than yours. And when you read this verse, and you focus on the fact that He wants you to have life, don't forget to read the next line. Because He comes behind it and says, I come that they might have life and have it abundant. In other words, I want to give them the life that I can put in my hand, not the piddly life that you can grab in your hand. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the goodness of God. And that's how you have to see your life as you begin this brand new year of 2020. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you're going, you need to understand that you are to live life and you have been called out and chosen by God, and He loves you and He wants to bless you. You get to live this year with the blessings of God. That's fantastic news, by the way. And if that's not enough to get you moving on a Sunday morning and get you moving into a Monday morning on a new year, I don't know what will. To know that the Creator of the universe loves you enough, has set you apart, and He wants to bless your life. How cool is that? That rocks. And it has nothing to do with your circumstances, nothing to do with the situation you're facing, nothing to do with the obstacles you're going to have to overcome. He wants to bless you. And so let me show you the third thing that's here, because I want you to notice what's not there. See, when we think about the blessings of God, there are times that we think about some of the promises that are often made in certain circles by television preachers, where you hear a lot of stuff that sometimes doesn't wash with Scripture. It sounds good, by the way. Actually, it sounds great. There are always a group of people out there that will teach you that the promise of God is health, wealth, and prosperity. And as you hear that, here's what I want you to understand. That's not what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, is that what God is promising when he promises he'll bless? And the answer to that is no. This is not a promise of health, wealth, and prosperity. Because God actually promises something so much better than physical health or material wealth. And some of the greatest blessings of God are wrapped up and tied up in moments of what we would like to call maybe blessings in disguise. In other words, moments and situations where we don't see how God is blessing until later, and sometimes it's much later, but God's at work all the time. But sometimes when you take inventory of what he's doing in the midst of the struggle, you think, man, God's forgotten about me. No, he hasn't. He's still blessing. And see, and health and wealth and prosperity works as long as everything is good, right? And if you really believe that, you will keep writing checks to keep making that good. But that's bad theology. And here's how you know. Because Jesus himself said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. In other words, the blessing of God is not an immunity card against pain and suffering. That's not the way it works. And if you need to source that, source Jesus. The statement that he makes is powerful and it's true and it's important. In this world, you will have trouble. I don't want a show of hands, but I think it's safe to say that most of you in this room have had trouble. Most of you have experienced roadblocks, speed bumps, unexpected things that have happened, the unthinkable surprise that came along. Some of you have experienced those moments where it's been pretty low, and it's been pretty dark, and in the midst of it, it was tough. Jesus said it was coming. And the great news is, isn't it great to know that there's a Savior that we're following that doesn't candy coat or lie to us? I mean, he told us it's going to get tough sometimes, so don't panic when it does. Because as you're kind of plodding through life and as you're plowing through life and sometimes you're buried by life, Jesus is reminding us, I knew you would be there. In this world, you will have trouble. So when we talk about the blessings of God, it's not a get out of trouble quick card. We're not playing Monopoly and just going around a game board where we can just play this card and all of a sudden, you know, we just get to escape whatever it is we're facing. Jesus himself endured more than his fair share of earthly troubles, including the cross, by the way. And so it's silly for us to think if we're going to become more like Jesus, we are going to have to go through some of the same struggles that he went through. The Bible talks about fellowship of suffering. And we don't talk about that at all, because see, you can't put that in a brochure and get a crowd. But there are just moments where life is going to get tough. And there are some moments where we're going to have to keep our nose to the grindstone, if you will, and keep plowing forward and go with what we know. And then in those moments when we can't see him real clearly, remember what he's done. And hold on to that, knowing that it's going to get clearer because Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But you have to remember that Jesus doesn't end that phrase or that verse with the promise of trouble. And this is, again, where sometimes our translations don't do us justice. In other words, just like we talked about that word that Jesus used for life is an important word to understand, this is another time where sometimes in our translation, and depending on what translation you look at, it will say this way, but sometimes we've been really guilty of this, we put a period where God puts a comma. In the original text, there's a comma here. In the NIV, there's a period. Because what happens next is important. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, comma, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. See, the period and the comma matters. And I know you understand the meaning because you're smart, but I'm not. And so sometimes I struggle with that. And when I look at it real close, it's good to know that in the same thought, as he's on a roll, he says, you know what, Jeff? He said, you're going to have trouble in this world. You can count on that. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you right now so you're not surprised by the fact that you're going to have trouble. But hang on. But don't lose heart. I've overcome the world. And you're with me. So understand that this promise that God is going to bless you and he's going to bless your life and this blessing that you can live with and this blessing that you can kind of go through life with, knowing that God is going to just bless your life and he's going to pour into you, that's exciting and that's good. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be tough sometimes. That's not what it is. And a lot of people come to this thing called faith and they just want a candy-coated existence. They want it to be just a never-ending game of Candyland where if they go down a slide, they know they're coming right back with more gumdrops. And I just dated myself big time with that illustration. It was a game. Forget it. Anyway, it's but in our world, we have to understand that we're called by God, and each day that you get up, it's a gift from God. You've been blessed. You say, oh, my back hurts. My knee hurts. My head hurts. I don't feel like I've been blessed. You got feeling, don't you? You've been blessed. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that we face every day that aren't going to be easy, but take heart. He's overcome the world and he's with you. And the one who is with you through it has promised, I want to give you a God-breathed life. And I want to give you an existence that's lived with abundance. I want to bless you. Let me share the last thing, and this will kind of wrap up. And this is really some summary thoughts that kind of kick us into the series. But I want you to notice the fine print or what the word says. And this is not a passage we've looked at. But I want to talk to you a bit about what blessing is in the Bible. There's a Hebrew word for blessing that is pronounced barak. It is used so commonly that it's put on repeat 330 times in the Old Testament alone. In other words, It's something that's a frequent topic that comes up over and over again about the blessing of God. You know what it means? It's defined simply as to bless the one who blesses you. God blesses, and we're to live our lives by blessing him who blesses us. And how do we bless him? By blessing others. By being obedient. And so for 330 times, in the Old Testament alone, we see that word just show up, that particular word. In the New Testament, there are two Greek words for blessing. And the idea and the teaching, and we'll get into those as time goes by, is that the concept of blessing God in our lives and the concept of living a life in God's blessing doesn't have to be Greek and Hebrew to us. It doesn't have to be some distant concept that we think we can't live. It doesn't have to be something that we think is not going to happen for us. It will happen for us. It can happen for us. It can be your life. It can define your life. As a matter of fact, it probably does, even if you don't recognize it. Our lives are defined by the way that God has blessed us. And here's what you need to understand. We approach blessing sometimes of just thinking of what we can get, what we can get, what we can get. But you've heard the phrase before, we make a living by what we get, we make a life by what we give. There really is a biblical undertone to that. God doesn't bless you to raise your standard of living. He blesses you to raise your standard of giving. Because I can't find any other justification for my existence. In other words, I can find no other reason for God to give me one more day of life except for me to be obedient and to touch and change the world with the love of Christ. I can't find any other reason out there biblically. That's what he's given me life for. That's why he lets me hang around. And there's going to come a day in my life where that purpose has been fulfilled, my time is done, And it's over. And on that day, I will step in my next step, and it will be with him, and I'll take another step into eternity, and I'll continue the eternal life that I've already started. But that simply means that he'll be done with me here. But how crazy is it that we live in a world where even some of us in this room, not you, but the other crazy people here, got up this morning thinking to themselves, this day is all mine. I can do whatever I want. Because I am the creator of this day, and I can make it anything I want. Okay, you can make it anything you want, but you have one option. Be obedient. Because if you're really not interested in that, why is God keeping you around? Well, that's not a cheery way to start the new year. I got it. But hey, here's your moment. He's keeping you around because he loves you and he wants to give you the life that he came to breathe into you and give it to you so full that you will live and enjoy his blessing and bless others. What are you going to do with that? Now, somebody's going to listen to this and go, oh, I don't agree with that. I don't care. Because here's the beauty of this. You don't have a problem with me. I can be your target. You have a problem with Jesus. I didn't say I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. I can't give you that. I can't manufacture that. I can't even wish that for you. Because on my best day, I can't muster that. There's only one who can, and his name is Jesus, and that's what he said he came to do. If you don't like that, take it up with him. He came so that he could bless you and give you a life so that you can do that to others. He's called you for a reason. He's called you for a purpose. He's called you to live a life that only he could give. How do you know that? How do we know that about God? You say, Jeff, where do you find that in Scripture, Smarty? How do you know that's what he came to do? Because from the very beginning of history, that's how God works in his people. How do I know? Go back to a guy by the name of Abraham. You may have heard of him. God had a covenant with Abraham at the very beginning of this journey. And interestingly enough, this is what he says to Abraham, and I quote, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. So from the very beginning, God has been in the blessing business. And then the next phrase is the one that most of us don't like to read because this is where Abraham has to get on this page with being obedient. And then God says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. He doesn't tell Abraham he can think about it. He doesn't tell Abraham as a part of our agreement here, I'm going to give you some optional behavior out here so you can bless if you want to. You can take every Tuesday, Thursday off. No. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And you will bless others. God does for us so that we can do for others. He gives you this day as a gift so you can do for someone else. Let me put it to you this way, a phrase you're going to hear a lot, we're blessed to bless. We'll abbreviate it, B2B. We're blessed to bless. B2B. As a matter of fact, we're going to do a series entitled Vision 2020 where we're going to talk about understanding and living out and living in the blessing of God. But then the following month, we're going to go to a series called B2B, Bless to Bless. How we can take all that we've learned about how God blesses us and then learn to bless others in a way that honors him. Because each moment that you get, big things, small things, it can be different. If you're going to wrap your head and heart around the blessing of God, think of it this way. Blessing, if you think about it, what does it mean when I say that God blesses us? What means that God is with us? God's for us? And he's in us. God with us is joy unspeakable and peace that passes all understanding. God for us is that space between the best that we can do and the best that God can do. And he fills in that space. He is that factor that makes all of the difference and makes our life different. God in us is power to live and to learn, and to love, and to be able to be what we were created to be. That's how he's blessed us. He's blessed us so that we could experience the life that he came to give us. There's a train called the Elevated in Chicago. It's a train that comes into the downtown area. And as it arrives in downtown, it's on a high track. So it's an elevated track that kind of comes in, and it comes past the buildings and through that downtown area. There's a young man that rode the elevated every morning And as the train began to slow for the station where he got off, he could look out through the windows, and he usually sat in the same seat every time. And through an open curtain in a room in an apartment complex that was right there where they came into the station, he could see a woman lying in her bed day after day. Window was always open. She was lying there looking out the window. It began to dawn on him, as she never moved, that she was ill, that there was something wrong with her. He just didn't know what, because again, he's just catching this fleeting glance as he goes past, as the train slows down. And so one day, before he went to work, he took a little extra time and he began to inquire about who she was and where she lived. And he went to the owner of that particular building who was managing the complex. And he was determined to find her name. He finally did get her name, found out that she was indeed ill, quite sick. And he decided that he would start praying for her. And after praying for her for a couple months, he wrote her a card. And he basically just said, look, here is the deal. I want you to know I'm aware of the fact that you're sick. I'm aware of the fact that you're struggling. He put a gift in that card. And he said, I'm praying for your recovery, your full recovery. And he signed it. The young man on the elevated. That was it. Didn't want to know who he was. Didn't want to get beyond the weirdness of the fact that he's looking in her window. Looked in her window, wanted to find out who she was. Anyway, there's a whole lot of weird in the story. I got it. So this is not a prescription of what you should do. This is just a description of what was done. Okay, difference between a prescription and description. But beyond the weird, he figured out a way, a creative way, to not only bless her and gift her, but wanted her to know that she was prayed for. A month and a half later, as he pulled into the station on the elevated, he looked back toward this window where he had seen this woman day after day after day, and the bed was empty. And there was a sign in the window that said, God bless you, my friend on the elevated. Simple. Did it take him some effort? Yeah. Did it cost him something? It was whatever gift he gave her. Did it cost him something else? Yeah. He decided that he cared enough for someone else to go to the creator of the universe and pray for. And decided to tell her about it. I got a gnawing feeling that everyone in this room could do something like that beyond the weird factor. I got a feeling that each one of us have opportunities through the course of our week to impact the world in that way. And so here's the now what. Here's the takeaway. What do you do with this? You've heard a verse. We're going to talk about blessings in the days ahead. We're going to look at your life and how you're blessed and what you need to do to position yourself to just kind of really experience and enjoy that and really recognize it for what it is. And so here's my challenge to you. This week, see yourself as blessed. See yourself as blessed. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, I told you how to do that. Take a few moments and ask God to help show you how he is with you, how he's for you, and how he's in you. And slow down long enough and quit getting consumed with our suke and our bios and thank him for breathing that life into you. Thank him for it. Maybe you need to jot some things down in your journal as you think about that. And then here's the question that is the kicker question for you, that is the struggle question for you, that is the question that when you start answering this one honestly, you begin to see your life differently. Because he lives in you, how are you blessed? I mean, in other words, what happens in your life each day that you can look back on and go, that's God's blessing on my life? Take inventory. Count them. Look at them. See, we often don't notice the blessings of God because we never slow down to see what they are. We're like the guy in the street in the first story. Today, nothing. Sure he has. And he's blessed each one of us. And so together we're going to discover how our lives are different because of that. Would you bow your heads and hearts? Let's pray together. God, we are thankful that you not only bless, but you really do bless to excess. It would be enough. It would be just to have life. But to have it abundantly, to have it to the max, to have it fuller. That is a gift that's above and beyond anything that we could ever, ever hope to have. Lord, there are some who are here, some who will listen, some who will listen in the days ahead. And they've never gotten to that point where they've made the decision to believe, trust, and follow you. They've never gotten to that moment where they made a decision to accept your offer and the gift of eternal life that you give. And Heavenly Father, so often we think of eternal life as going to heaven one day. We don't recognize that eternal life starts in the moment that we take you up on your invitation. Because from that moment on, we are walking with you. And all the promises that we read in your word and all those blessings that you have for us and all those things that you said begin to make sense with a clarity that we just can't have until we know you. And so, Lord, for some, they need to make that decision. What a better way to start the year. I would pray that even now in this room, they would make that decision and simply say, Jesus, I want to believe, trust, and follow you. I do believe, trust, and I'm going to follow you. And before they exit this morning, they would simply fill out a response page and the worship flyer. Check that spot. It says, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. If they're watching or listening online, I pray that this would be a moment that they would just be able to stop, fire us an email to the contact that's there. Let us know that that's the decision that they're going to make, because there's some things that we want to share with them that will help them and help them understand what needs to happen next so they can grow. Lord, there are others in this room this morning who step into this brand new year. And we thankfully and rejoicingly call ourselves followers. But the truth is, we're distracted. We've allowed the circumstances and obstacles and difficulties of life to become overwhelming for us. And somewhere in the midst of trying to live life, we have forgotten to look to you. And you're out of focus. We don't see it clearly. Sometimes we get sideways in our thinking and we think that you've forgotten about us. Sometimes we are so overwhelmed by the things that go on around us that we think that you don't care. And none of that's true. Sometimes the greatest blessings that you're doing and working in our lives are blessings that are in disguise. Help us not to quit. Before we see the answer, help us not to quit before the sun comes up. Help us not to quit before we see the good in what you're doing, because you've never failed us yet. You're not going to start now. And Lord, if we could learn in our lives to see how we're blessed, our focus would change. So God, this week, help us to take a vision test and help us to see our lives through a different lens. The lens of your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.